Welcome to the NESG Radio. My name is Sadiq Olofin. I'm your host for today. Today, I have with me Dr. Zuhun Abdapel, a senior fellow at the NESG Non-Residential Fellowship Program. Our discussion today will be focusing on the situation of the Naira, what are we doing wrongly, and what can be done to salvage the situation. So welcome to the show, Dr. Abdapel.
Pleased to be here. Thank you.
So in the face of the continual fall in the Naira, we have seen different versions of it. How do you describe the foreign exchange situation in Nigeria, the Naira situation, the forex management, and some of the other issues around it?
Yeah, thanks. So your question summarizes everything that has to do with how we arrive at the current exchange rate, right? So the best approach to this question is first to look at the historical perspective, how the currency and its value has evolved over time. But if you look at the numbers closely, you would see that leadership plays a major role. The value of the currency changes when we have a change in leadership. And the change in leadership brings about change in policies that affect the value of the currency. But let's plow through some numbers. The value of the Naira, we know that it was introduced in 1973 to replace the Nigerian British pounds, right? And the value at the time was pretty much stronger than the dollar and the pound. In fact, there's a period I call the glory day of the Naira, the glory days of the Naira. In 1980, the value of the Naira was almost two times the value of the US dollar. So you need $1.80 to get one Naira at a time, and that was when Naira was at its peak. The currency had never returned to that peak, and when democracy returned until this time, the value of the currency has fallen by over 700%. That's from 1999 to date. The value of the currency has fallen by roughly 700%. So this is not, to me, an indictment on democracy, but it reveals the struggle of democracy to deal with pre-existing cracks within the system. Now, in 1985, powered by the drive for reforms and unrestricted controls of the value of the Naira, the then government introduced a market for trading the currency with the demand for and the currency determining its value, so the exchange rate. So what that means is demand and supply should determine the exchange rate. So if there is more demand for the Naira, we're gonna see the value of the Naira go up. And if there is more demand for the dollar than the Naira, we're going to see the value of the dollar goes up. So in the immediate aftermath of this policy in 1985, the value of Naira dropped by over 200%. And by January 2000, coinciding when democracy returned, the value of the dollar has rose from less than one Naira to more than one Naira. And for roughly 14 years around that time, it maintained an average of approximately 143 in value. Then came the 2014 bust in world oil prices, which slashed Nigeria's oil revenue and external reserves. And the value of the Naira was on a steepest downturn. So after reaching a level not seen in half a century, peaking to close to 500 to the dollar as of February 2017, the currency's average between the month of oil price crash and September 2019 was 362 to the pound. So, but this is just a background prior to 2015. But when we move into 2015, of course, around that time, the price of the oil fell. So let me just chip in something here. the dollar is a currency we need to buy goods from the rest of the world, and our central bank is not authorized to print the dollar. It's only America that is authorized to print the US dollars, and Americans cannot just start giving us freebies of US dollar. We have to earn it from them by giving them what they need in exchange, and primarily what we have that earns us the dollar more than any commodity is oil. So whenever there is a crash in the world oil price, we see also revenue coming in terms of forex also falls, and so there is a shortage of the dollar around the time. Now, Nigeria is just one of the producers of oil. It's only contributing maybe 2% or less to global oil output, so it doesn't have leverage over the price of oil. So these changes in world oil market situations, we don't have control about it. But what we do have control about is how we respond to these policies. So from when the currency fell in 2015, the policy that the government at the time introduced to deal with the fall in the value of the currency precipitated the situation, amplified the situation, made the situation worse, and the currency continued to fall. And what was it that the government introduced at the time? So the government activated capital control measures and reduced access to the US dollar to many businesses and individuals needing them for legitimate things. And because these individuals cannot access them from, say, the central bank or from commercial banks, they have to access them elsewhere. And so we see there was an explosion of the transaction of currency in the black market. So the black market premium was rising sharp. The black market premium is the difference between the official rate and the black market rate. So the exchange rate in the black market went up. And so when we're talking of the exchange rate, what really concerns Nigerians is not the central bank exchange rate, it is the black market exchange rate, because that's where they go to get the dollar. And so there was a rise in the black market rate at the time. And the government was being advised to float the naira. To float the naira means let the demand and supply of the naira determines the exchange rate. So if there is excess, if there is more supply of the naira than the dollar, in other words, if Americans need the naira more than Nigerians need the dollar, then the value of the naira would go up. Otherwise, the value of the dollar would go down. Otherwise, the value of the dollar would go up. So that was what the government did around July 2016, and the situation worsened. The value of the currency kept falling, and when the presidency could not lean against the wind of popular opinion, they intervened by starting to supply dollar to Beirut Exchange and also commercial banks, and trying to step back from allowing market to do that. So why was the market behaving like that? The reason is it's a big policy error to flow the currency in a financial system that is fragile, because you open up the currency to speculative attacks. And when these government bowed out of power, the government that came in said they want to unify exchange rates, and that is where we've seen the currency is almost on the brink of collapse. And the value, even the official value, has gone up by almost 100%, and so on and so forth. Yeah, so I'll just pause here for now. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. You've spoken a lot about some historical perspective to Forex management and the movement in Forex over the years. And you've been able to that emerged as a result of policy changes in government, and all of those issues around the government policy side. How do you actually position the the fall in Naira beyond just policy?
So, beyond just policy, how do you position the fall in the Naira? So let's understand something here. The connection between the exchange rate and the welfare of Nigerians, then I'll link it up to your question. So the fact that the value of a country's currency is strong is not a guarantee that the welfare of the citizens will be robust or strong at the same time. We've seen in Nigeria in 1996, where we had the highest poverty rate, that was 80%. Over 80% of Nigerians were living in poverty at the time. But the exchange rate was very stable for almost 5 years at 25 naira to the dollar, roughly. So why was there no strong welfare for Nigerians around the time? During the military juntas, the economic relationship between Nigeria and the rest of the world was not as strong as it is right now. So when democracy returned, the size of government expanded. You have House of Rep members, you have senators, you have governors, you have ministers, you have special advisors to ministers, you have commissioners, you have House of Assembly members, you have budgets of EFCC agencies established, you also have INEC with huge budget. So government expenditure expanded, government was spending a lot, and these people, they are all on the payroll of government. Now they have a lot of cash at their disposal they have to spend, and much of that it's on foreign goods. So we've seen people buying cars from abroad. We've seen people buying mobile phones being imported, young graduates finishing getting jobs in federal agencies or banks, and they're buying cars. And that rose the demand for the dollar significantly. And that's why some people never figured out that just within the short administrative window that Abdul Salami had to rule Nigeria, the value of the currency within his time dropped by over 60%. So that was around when these things were happening. So the value of the currency was falling day by day because Nigerians were importing more when democracy returned than when there was a military junta. So these things happen without necessarily saying you want to put policies in place. So this is one of the biggest drivers. And another thing that has no connection with policy is in 2011, when election results were announced and there was some violence, lynching spree, people lost their lives. The message of that post-election announcement of result to investors was that your monies in Nigeria are no longer safe, because there was a name on the ballot in 2011, and that name was hoping to appear on the ballot again in 2015. And the predictions around the time were that if this same name loses out of the election, what happened in 2011 would just be a piece of cake, would just be a tip of the iceberg. So there will be more ravaging in the country and capital of investors would fall. So if you look at Nigeria's foreign direct investment around the time, you would see from 2011, that was the peak of foreign direct investment in Nigeria. It fell net flow. So the net flow is when foreigners bring in money to invest, they bring the dollar, and there are existing investments in Nigeria who want to pull out their money. So if investors bring in $100 and $150 pull out of the economy, then the net flow is minus $50. So at the time, we see the net flow was just falling, because within two weeks to the election, over 25 billion left Nigeria in Forex. And that is 10 times more than our capital expenditure around that time. So that was a massive, it created massive shortage of the currency, and that has really no strong connection with policies of government, but it was the situation that we found ourselves at the time.
Oh, thank you. So I get that you are highlighting the fact that we have instability in our political system, contributing to the fact that investors are wary of coming to invest in Nigeria, and the expansion in the demand for dollars as a result of expansion in government spending. So and from your responses, you have been able to touch on some of the implications that could be for some of the welfare implication of the status of the Naira. But I would like you to touch a bit more on what the situation of the Naira means for the whole of the economic interplay, from the welfare of household, welfare of businesses, and that of the government. What do you think is the implication?
Yeah, so thanks. Like I said, so the question, the way I understand your question is, what has the value of the Naira got to do with the common man on the street, right? Back to what I said, that during the military era, we had a very strong exchange rate, but that was when, in 1996, we had the highest poverty rate in the country. So why was that? I explained that there was no strong economic relationship with Nigeria then, with the rest of the world, than we do now. I don't think Nigeria was importing more during the military era than it is right now, because democracy brings about liberty, freedom, and politicians had a lot of means and money, and people were spending. So, but in terms of direct implication is, it diminishes the country's international purchasing power. So if you used to buy a car abroad, and the exchange rate, say, was 1 naira to the dollar, 100 naira to the dollar, and you had 500, if you have 1 million naira, you'll be able to buy a car of a couple of $1,000 at a time. So if the exchange rate now appreciates, the dollar appreciates, you need more than what you usually need, you have to add more naira to what you have to buy the same car. So it reduces the country's international purchasing power. Kids that their parents would normally send them schooling abroad, they would have to rethink. So there is a substitution effect. So what that means is, there are foreign goods and services that Nigerians can provide them locally, like education is one of them. Instead of sending their kids abroad, they will say it's more expensive and it's maybe 10 times cheaper for them to send their kids to private universities in Nigeria, so they will substitute. Or if they insist that they want to send their kids abroad, they may have to more than double the amount of naira at their disposal. So they have to work hard to earn more money, so that may boost economic activities locally. Or if they are corrupt politicians, they will steal more. So corruption would rise in an attempt for people to raise more money to pay for foreign goods and services. So that is one. And in situations where there are no substitutes, like in the Nigerian case, we have a lot of goods that we buy them from abroad that we don't have strong substitutes for them, their prices would rise and inflation would be imported into the country through that. So maybe much later on, if I'll talk about what we need to do, I will shed more light on that. Thank you.
So over the past week, we have seen appreciation in the Naira, and this is following some of the news effect from government announcement. First, they announced that they are able to secure about $10 billion from the paid case, the one in the UK. Also, the government is saying that they are trying to clear the backlog of over $7 billion in the banking sector. So put together all of this, we are seeing appreciation in the Naira. But as we know, this is a short-term mediation thing in the market. After the whole of the $10 billion, as it were, is exhausted, we'll come back to the problem that is the structural problem that is holding us back in terms of our naira value. So what are the things that you think that can be done to sustain the strength of the naira, at least to maintain the stability such that we won't be having persistent fall in the currency?
Okay, thanks. So let's start by correcting an impression here. The value of the naira is not appreciating. It's not. It's only recovering because it was better than what it is. So if your currency falls from 100 naira to 500 naira, and it then moves to 495, is not an appreciation, it's a recovery. Until the naira returns to its glory days value, then we have not yet fully recovered to start appreciating. So the question you ask, what can we do to stop all of these things and maintain a stable value of the currency? There are lots of things involved, and I don't think we have much of the time to talk about it. It has to do with policy, it has to do with politics, it has to do with the economy, and it has to do with deliberate. In fact, it's a short, long, and medium time approaches that have to be woven in to get the problem solved for a long time to come. But much of it rests with politicians. Let me say this here, and I hope maybe it resonates with what some people think as well. If we have leadership that can do two of these things, we are not just on the path to getting the naira back, but we would see the entire economic system rebounding. Number one, staff your economic management team with experts. Number two, take your hands off them and shield them from politics. Let them be independent of politics. Now, Nigeria has never had shortage of ideas to move the nation forward. So the first condition is always there. There are great ideas, great people, but politics is always interfering with the process. And that is why we still have these things repeating themselves over and over. There is a lot to talk about this and to dig into all of these things, but we don't have much of the time. So to just give a summary answer to your question is, the naira is in this situation because there is the dollar is in short supply compared to, there is more demand for the dollar than the dollar is available to meet the demand. Just put it that way. So if you supply the dollar a lot, you would get the value of the naira go up. But how do you do that? What's the big problem? So the political atmosphere, the economic, the political atmosphere in the last 10 years has altered the economic landscape. And the economic landscape is not really favorable for many people. There is this guy who was talking about his book. He was saying something, Paul Collier, when he was talking about Cuba in his book, The Bottom Billion. He said, when a nation offers no hope of economic prosperity to its citizens, the smart ones would work hard not to improve the country, but to escape. So we've seen a massive wave of Nigerians leaving the country, and they are not going to spend any currency outside other than foreign currency. They are not going to spend the naira outside. So they are sailing off their assets, they are transferring their portfolios to foreign investments, they are moving their monies, they want to go and resettle abroad, and we see that is pumping up the demand for the dollar. Now, to defend the currency and to make it strong and stable, first of all is to shield it from fluctuation in international oil prices. So and how do you defend the currency from international foreign prices? In the past, government built up reserves, and when there is falling oil price, it uses a reserve to defend the currency. Now, there are four commodities that Nigerians consume a lot, and that is taking chunk of our forex. So if we can start focusing on our local industries that will produce these goods and services so that we don't import them, that would diminish our demand for the forex to pay for all of these things. Number one is pharmaceutical products. Number two, building materials. Number three, clothing and footwear. And number four, food items. So these are four major commodities in the short run that if we can improve on our agricultural system and our industries to close the international, to meet up the international demand, and now to meet up the domestic demand. And when we're talking about that, we're not saying a lawmaker or a politician would stand up and say, oh, buy Nigerian shoe, I also buy it, let's put a law that forces you to buy Nigerian food, Nigerian goods. That's not the best way to go about it. You end up destroying welfare of consumers. What if they buy these goods and they are substandard and they are not of high quality? So it's to improve their quality. Government can spend a lot of money involving people in research and development that will come up with ways to produce high quality goods at lowest possible prices, and this would lower average costs of production and lower the prices of these goods, and Nigerians can feel comfortable patronizing local goods, and demand for foreign goods would fall, and as a result the demand for dollar would also fall. So these are some of the short term, medium term interventions. In the short term intervention is, now, we say we've unified the exchange rate, but the exchange rate is not unified. You go to central bank, you get a rate different from when you go to the commercial bank and when you also go to the black market or money transfer agents online. So we still have multiple exchange rates. Now, what we need to do is, in my view, we can only have two exchange rates. And it's not just about having the two exchange rates, but we have to make them work. And what are these two exchange rates? One exchange rate by the central bank, and it should be fixed at a very, very low rate. The government can bring it down to as low as what it was almost 10 years ago. And then the second exchange rate should be exchange rate given that commercial banks are allowed to sell the currency. So if the government say we're selling, central bank is selling the dollar for 100 naira, then you can regulate commercial banks to put a profit of maybe $5 or $10 on top, 10 naira, 5 naira or 10 naira on top. And any price above that, they should be sanctioned for doing that. Now you have only two exchange rates. And then just like they once announced that they banned the Burundi change, the black market people, lots of them operate under the cloak of darkness. They finance the underground economy, they finance illegal activities, so people don't care about the rate. Whatever the rate, they rush to go and buy it there because most of the monies they use to buy it are ill-gotten wealth. So ban the Burundi change and criminalize the activities there. But when Nigerians need the money to go abroad to carry out legitimate functions like schooling or medical, they should be able to get it from the commercial bank. They should be able to. If they don't get it from the commercial bank, you push them to the black market, and the black market is resurrected again. So the government has to make it work that way, and to just give these currencies to people. And they have to put in a lot of enforcement, keep serious eye on commercial banks and the way they go about this transaction. I'll tell you two things. One, there was a guy who said, he worked with a commercial bank and said, when central bank give out loans in foreign currency to businesses to import goods to improve their industries, they go back through the commercial banks and individuals buy them and use them back other than that. And second instance was when they sell the currency for Nigerians to travel abroad, they go to the airport and meet Burundi change and they buy it back from the Burundi change people and bring it back in the black market and keep selling. So it was never used for the purpose. So there has to be strict enforcement for that. And our industries have to be very strong and produce the things that will always rush to abroad. But there are things that even in the next 100 years, I'm not downplaying Nigeria's capability. We don't have the copyright for these things. to produce them, but we need them. Even for the next 100 years, we cannot produce these things. We have to rely on the rest of the world for that, for those things. But these four items I mentioned that take substantial part of our forex, we need to start working on industries that can make these things work.
Well, thank you. But then I'll maybe a backtrack. You know, as much as we want to look at the market situation, we still feel that the government price should track what the market is. Although we know that over the years, the speculative behavior in the market has over pressured the currency downward. But then we still feel the market needs to come in. And I totally agree with you that a lot of enforcement needs to come to play. A lot of people are getting away with so many criminal activity in that space that the government needs to actually bring in a stronger hand to address some of the issues that are happening in the space. So thank you for that one. So I would like to, yes, you mentioned earlier that one of the major things that pressured the currency downward over the past decade is the movement of investment out of the country due to the issue around the confidence in the economy and all of that. So we have seen the president going around the world trying to entice investors and all of that. So we want to bring in money as much as possible. We saw that he went to meet a couple of Nigerian in the Diaspora Association here and there to let them realize that you guys can bring your money back. So as it stands, which of these instruments, this foreign instrument that comes into form that forms part of our forex inflows, do you think Nigeria should chase in the short to medium term in terms of remittance, portfolio investment and FDI? Which of these instruments do you think the government needs to chase to support the Naira in the short to medium term? And how do we facilitate the inflow of these instruments?
Well, when you talk about trying to bring in more money into the system, have it also at the back of your mind that those bringing in these monies are bringing the money with the intention that the money will multiply for them. And once the money multiplies as a profit they make from these monies, they are not going to leave these profits in the country. They have to repatriate them. They have to move them out again, right? So the value that the foreign direct investment creates for the system is the jobs that people get and some other economic benefits and the transfer of knowledge. Other than that, it's just bringing the capital. And for remittances, so there is an illusion about remittances that we need to understand. They always announce that Nigerians send home every year $25 billion. That money rarely hits our external reserves. Otherwise, we would have been seeing a lot of that helping our currency. So what happens in the forex market internationally is when you sell the dollar, if someone living abroad wants to send money to Nigeria and he says, say he sends $1,000, the company that transfers the money would collect the $1,000 and not send it to the central bank in Nigeria or any commercial bank or sending it to our reserves in any way. That $1,000 will be kept with the company that sells the money. And when someone in Nigeria wants some dollars to carry transaction abroad, they will sell that dollar to that person. And so there is cross-border transaction, but there is no fiscal movement of the money across the border. So the guy in Nigeria moves his naira to the guy that the guy in abroad wants to send the money to. So there is an illusion. It never hits the reserves and you hardly can get that. And attracting foreign direct investment, you have to create a climate that will encourage people to bring in their money. And there are two things majorly that the government will have to do to create a climate for that. Number one is to improve our infrastructure, because if infrastructure is not in place, say electricity, you raise the average cost of doing business, and nobody wants to operate business in such an environment. trading. So the cost of doing business would be very high. So, but if infrastructure are in place, you lower the average cost of business and people will be encouraged to bring in their capital. And the second thing is, we have to fight against insecurity in the country, because the image of insecurity is discouraging investors to bring in their fortunes to invest in the country. They are not guaranteed that if they bring in this money and they can take them out at the time that they want to. And the third thing, which is very, very important, is our institutions, especially the legal institutions. So our legal institutions have to protect property rights. They have to be there. So for instance, if an investor brings in money and he buys equity in Nigerian business, he wants to withdraw it based on the law, and the law is not there to protect his interests, and he has to go to court, he's going to spend 10, 20, 15 years in court. It doesn't make sense. So the legal institution has to be unambiguously clear and to support investment, support investors. The infrastructure has to be there. Power is the main problem, and we need to solve that as well to encourage the inflow of foreign direct investments.
Oh, thank you very much, Dr. Apel. Our time has far been spent. We really appreciate your time and the insight you have shared on the issue of Naira devaluation. Thank you very
much. There's one thing I forget to talk about in terms of the solution. So I've always said this, and I'll repeat it again. The central bank of any country is very crucial to the economic stability of that country. Nigeria is not excluded. And for the central bank to be able to function very well, it has to be independent of the executive branch of government. If that has not happened, then the central bank would find it difficult to bring about price stability and manage exchange rates. Now, theoretically, there are pointers as to if a central bank is independent or not. Number one is, if you have high frequency turnout of central bank governors. So if central bank governor is expected to be in office for a time of 5 years, maximum 2 times, 10 years in office, and you always have a situation where whenever there's a change in government, there's a change in CBN governor, that's a sign that the central bank is not independent, and it will be difficult for the central bank to function effectively. And if you check back in Nigeria from 99 to date, you've seen that. And the second pointer as to central bank is not independent is, if the person who appoints the governor of the central bank is from the same region with the governor of the bank. And since 99, you see that pattern. If a president is from the north, the central bank governor is appointed from the north. If the president is from the south, the central bank governor is appointed from the south. So these are pointers that the CBN is not independent. America, a country that it's a beacon of democracy and economic success, and we always aspire to be like them. They had a central bank governor that was in office for 18 straight years, and he worked under 5 presidents, different political parties. Alan Greenspan had served under both Democrats and Republican presidents. And the reason he was kept there, they realized that our economy should not, we should not allow politics to affect our own economy. So he did a good job, and when presidents come in, they are convinced that he'll continue to do a good job, and they allow him to function in the office. In my own view, one way for us to have a central bank that is independent is to shield it from politics. Why can't you throw it out open and say, if you want to be a CBN governor of Nigeria, send in your CV, and there should be an independent, maybe external, recruitment firm abroad that should sieve out CVs of best friends they can find, and then bring them to the Senate to approve. And once the guy is in power, he cannot be removed by the president except for misconduct or some mistakes that is destroying the economy. Britain brought their Bank of England governor from Canada. So This is one of the ways to just make the central bank independent so it can function very well in building a resilient economy.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very much for your time. We've had an insightful conversation. We hope to have you on board another time.
Thank you too, and have a wonderful evening.